Our reading is from Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21, which you will find on page 952. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. And one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my cloak, my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking round to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher any more?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Thank God for his word.
So as I mentioned, last month we looked at this passage, and David Ronco spoke about this lady who had been in such desperate illness for many years, and just by touching part of his clothing was healed. But that wasn't enough for her, and Jesus knew that she needed wholeness. She needed to be brought out into the open and know that she had met with him. And so he calls her out, and she comes trembling and fearful, and he talks to her, and she goes away whole, not just healed, but whole, because she'd been out in the wilderness. She hadn't been allowed to be part of society, and she needed to know that she'd been brought in and was now accepted. And so it's a lovely story. But while all that is going on, there is Jairus. And we didn't look at Jairus. And we don't really know very much about Jairus, other than he was the ruler of one of the local synagogues, the leader there. So he was probably a very respectable, well-respected person, maybe well-known in the area. And he was absolutely desperate. For those of you who've ever been in a situation when you've had a child who's been really ill, you will know what that feels like. It feels awful. Much worse than if you yourself had touched, to have your own child so ill. And Jairus was desperate. Even if we didn't realize that for ourselves, how would we know that? Well, first of all, rulers did not come and kneel at the feet of somebody like Jesus. Jesus was a very controversial character. In fact, we know that most of the religious rulers didn't want anything to do with him and were very anti him. And yet here was one of the rulers coming and falling at Jesus' feet, making a complete spectacle of himself. He was desperate. Please come and heal my daughter. She is so ill. And Jesus responds. He starts to come. And then there's the crowds jostling him and pushing him, and he can't seem to get through. And there's that delay. Nothing seems to be happening. And then, if that's not bad enough, Jesus then suddenly stops. Come on, please come. And Jesus stops, and he spends time, and he calls out this woman. This woman who probably Jairus would have had absolutely nothing to do with. As a religious leader, to have something to do with a woman in her situation wouldn't have been unthinkable. So here was Jesus dealing with somebody who maybe normally Jairus wouldn't want anything to do with. And the time ticks away, and the time's going. And eventually, he talks to the woman, and she goes away feeling whole, and they're just about to move forward when messengers come from his house. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. I'm so sorry, it's too late. Your daughter has died. Can you imagine? Imagine what that feels like. I mean, we shouldn't get frustrated with the Bible. This is God's word, but it just doesn't tell you anything of what Jairus is thinking. It's such a powerful story. What is going through his heart and his mind right now? I can imagine. It must have been absolutely awful. And Jesus turns to him, and again, it's about that fear. Don't fear. Jairus at this point must have been full of sorrow, such deep sorrow. I'm sure guilt. As a parent, you know, you feel guilt. The fact that you maybe couldn't do anything to control the situation. But as a parent, you feel real responsibility. As a dad in particular, you know, one of your jobs is to make sure that your children are safe. That is your job, as well as lots of other things. But making sure that they are safe, that's dad's job. And he's failed. His daughter has died. Anger, I'm sure he must have been boiling over. And doubts. You know, I've come to this person and it's too late, nothing's happened. And Jesus just mentions fear. He says, don't be afraid. And he asks for faith. Don't fear, just believe. This is the second story that has a similar sort of theme. If you think about Lazarus, remember Lazarus and the family there? In that case, Lazarus becomes very ill and they call for Jesus, and Jesus is a distance away, and the message comes to Jesus, your friend Lazarus is ill. And Jesus does nothing. In fact, he apparently deliberately stays where he is. He doesn't get up straight away and start moving forward. And Lazarus dies. And these stories, of course, they have such amazing positive endings, don't they? Jesus says to Jairus, "Don't fear, just believe." And then he goes to the house and he says to them, "Look, she's not dead, she's just sleeping." And he's crazy, he's crazy. And then Jesus takes Jairus and just takes in a few of his disciples and he raises up the girl. We're told she's about 12 years old. He's very practical. He says, "She's hungry, feed her." And he gives them a warning, actually, not to tell other people what has happened. And it's these strange. Sometimes Jesus tells people to go and share what's happened. Occasionally he tells, "Don't say anything about what has happened." And so Jairus, having gone through these agonies of waiting, sees an answer to prayer. Mary and Martha, their brother, their beloved brother, dies. And there it's even worse, you know, he's actually in the grave by the time Jesus comes. But Jesus raises him and they see their brother reunited again. Waiting for God to act, it's not easy. And what happens if God doesn't seem to act at all? That's hard, isn't it? Some of you will know my story, I've got three boys. Ben has been over from Bolivia with his family. We've had a lovely time with them this week. Ben married Roz, and they've got four children. And they come over every now and again, and we spend a lot of time with them. And Jonathan, my second son, he's married to Jess, and they've got two children in Bournemouth. And then my third son, Richard, who's studying theology in his final year at the moment. And they bring such great joy to Anne and myself. They're not boys anymore, they're men. But I had a daughter, Eva, we loved her so much. And then when she was 6 months, Eleanor became ill. I went into her one morning and found her in the cot, and she was like a rag doll, really floppy. I knew straight away something was very serious. And so she was rushed into Addenbrooke's Hospital. And after 3 days, she died. There was nothing they could do. Her brain had been affected in some way. And so during those 3 days, I can't really tell you now what was going through my mind. It was such a crisis. But I knew that God could heal and could work. And I knew that God loved me and loved Anne. But of course, you always ask these questions, don't you? Say, well, why is God not acting? Why are we waiting for so long for God to act? And of course, there's some answers that you can come to. And of course, the first obvious one, is that it's down to me. It's my faith. I don't believe enough. I haven't got enough faith. No, I don't think that's the way God works. And in fact, if I look at these stories, I can see that he doesn't. You know, because he so often says to people, he says, "Have faith," but he says, "You just need a little faith." It isn't about how strong your faith is. In other words, the only people who will see answers to prayer are those good, strong Christians. The rest of us, maybe we don't see the answers because we're not strong enough. In that case, it's all down to us, me. It's all down to you. And that can't be right. Because I have never got enough strength. My faith is never going to be strong enough. Of course, maybe it's that God isn't strong enough. But I don't believe that for a minute. I've seen God work in my life and in my family's lives again and again and again. And I really believe that God can and will work. And that God can do miracles and he can change situations that nobody else can do anything about. Maybe the God doesn't care. Would you ever feel that maybe God doesn't love me enough? Well, the answer, of course, is always is here. We will be sharing together the bread and the wine. And if we ever, ever doubt whether God loves us and cares enough, then this is the answer. Because God so loved the world, so loved Graham, so loved everybody here, that he gave his only son. So yes, God cares. So what conclusions do we come to when we're waiting for God to act? I think, first of all, just that God has the complete picture. During this story, Jesus had the complete picture. He had these two people coming to him, this lady who needed to be made whole. Her life needed to be brought back together. And Jairus, he needed to learn faith in Jesus Christ. He needed to learn that Jesus was the only one who could answer his needs. And Jesus had that complete picture that we do not have. And also, I do know, and I've seen it in lives here, that bad things do happen to God's people. We do suffer. And God doesn't just snap his fingers and make it all go away. I think if he did that, he wouldn't really show the love that he has for us. Waiting for God to answer. I wonder if there's something in your life where you're waiting for God to answer, something you've waited for long, many years. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for a loved one. I know that for you, some of you, there are things that you've been asking God for many years. I know that some of you get together every now and then and you pray about those things. And so I know that there are things that God, you're still asking God for. And he asks us to do that, doesn't he? He says, come to me believing that I will answer. He says, you know, knock. Keep knocking. I will answer. It may not be the answer that we think is the best one, of course. And that's God's wisdom at work. So it's not a comfortable answer I have for you in saying, okay, so why does it sometimes happen? Why does it sometimes not? But I can tell you from my own experience, even losing my daughter, that I still knew that God loved her and that God loved me and God loved Anne, my wife. And he brought us through that. And there's still hardly a day that goes by, and this is many, many years now, hardly a day ever goes by when I don't think about her. But I'm not full of sorrow. I know that God's taken her to be with him, and I accept that now. And I accept that God still loves me. Even when he says, no, Graham, I can't give you that. Or no, you need to wait a bit longer. You need to just keep putting your trust and your faith in me. Keep trusting.